And just bow your heads. We're going to run to Jesus tonight. So, Father, we want to come before you and we want to thank you for what you're doing. We don't always understand your plan, but we know you have one. And it's a plan for our lives, and it's a plan for the church. It's a plan for the families that are here even this night, so that we can be obedient to bring forth what you have a desire to bring forth tonight. In Jesus' name. I also want to extend a thank you to those who are faithful to support this ministry, because without your support, we don't make it. And I'm not putting pressure on anybody. I just want to say thanks. Because we just sometimes forget to say it. Even those who listen on the internet, thank you. And tonight, there was a press in my spirit. And I went to a particular place with this book because God had told me to take it with me for lunch. So I had lunch with Wade Taylor. And I want to declare to you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So if you notice, we're in Ephesians tonight. Did anybody get a clue? And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So what are we building? We're building up the body of Christ. Why are we constructing a body for the Lord? Well, in case you forgot, your body was put together in your mother's womb, Psalms 139. And God did a mighty work when he put you together. Now, you say, well, I'm not quite perfect. Well, he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for someone to perfect. Now, 40 years after the latter rain visitation in the mid-1980s, there was a fresh stirring of the Holy Spirit that came to be known as the charismatic visitation. Anybody familiar with that? 1980. In the latter part of the latter rain visitation, it was called the charismatic visitation. This time of visitation, which is in its beginning, was introduced primarily in the denominational churches, centered on an expanded understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many have been baptized in the Holy Ghost? You've already tasted it. Okay? That's all a byproduct of what was. For me, I came in on that latter part of that train, if you wish. And I would like to be able to give you this next observation from this man. So far, the pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets have been restored. During the charismatic visitations, the apostles should have been fully restored. But this did not happen, as gradually this time of visitation was rejected by the structured church. How many know what I'm talking about? It was rejected by the structured church. Why? It was the same spirit that was in them, that was in the Pharisees and the Sadducees of 2,000 years ago. The picture has not changed. And they were going to lose control. So when you're about to lose control or lose your job, and wait a minute, maybe we should have bingo. You guys laugh. Just down the road from here, I was assisting every few weeks a prayer group that had at least 500 people worshiping in a gymnasium. Every single Friday night, all Roman Catholics, full of the Holy Ghost, celebrating Jesus Christ. Every single week, miracles, signs, wonders, awesome things were happening right down the road. And it kept on going, and it was flourishing, and many others were starting. A few years down the road, they declared that they needed the hall for bingo. And I'm not trying to just say to you, these are bad people. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just trying to verify. I lived through watching some of that. Okay? I was also a leader in one of those prayer groups in Palmer, Three Rivers. And I can tell you that there were hundreds that got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there were hundreds that were healed, delivered, set free, walking with the Lord. Why? Because it was God's time to visit. Are you ready now for the next level? The charismatic visitation then moved into independent gatherings of those who were sincerely seeking something further. They weren't satisfied with the status quo. They wanted more. Who gave you the hunger for more? The Lord. Amen? But again, it came short of its intended purpose of a further baptism of Holy Spirit fire. Instead, the emphasis centered on healing and prophetic words to individuals, and as a result came short of the interchange in lives that is essential for the full restoration of the apostolic. John the Baptist spoke of this Holy Spirit fire baptism, which is yet to be fulfilled. So if you think you've done it or had it, it's to come. What am I telling you about? If you satisfy yourself with the status quo, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be shortchanging what God has intended for you. He is after a perfect bride. He is after a bride that is spotless and pure and holy, and He's the only one that's going to clean you up. I spoke to somebody the other day, and I had a vision of a wire brush. It just came in my head, a wire brush. Now, I have some in my tool room. I don't use them on my skin, but this is what I saw. I saw people using the wire brush on their flesh. What do you think happens when you use a wire brush on your flesh? You bleed. You tear your flesh apart. And I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? He said, this person is trying to clean themselves up with a wire brush, and it will never work because I already paid the price for their flesh to be restored. I already paid the price. They're having a problem with their flesh. Amen. Can you relate? Upset because it's not behaving the way you want it to. Upset because it's giving you a hard time. I rest my case, see? You know, this flesh is of the earth. And when you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about the earth being judged. Well, that judgment is on that flesh. And God will release a fire that will burn the flesh and keep you holy. He's going to change you from what you were to what you need to become. And the apostolic that is being prepared by God in the saints that are willing. Did you hear me? The saints that are willing to get more from the Lord. Some people are crying out, I want more, I want more. They have no clue what they're asking for. You know? I can remember singing the song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask. Come on. Well, you prayed the prayer and He's answering it. To be like Him. Amen? Did you sing the song? Well, you did, didn't you? He's answering your prayer. You've got difficulties and trials of many kinds. James chapter 1. What do? You rejoice and you give thanks. And you don't try to logically figure it out. Because the more you try to figure it out, what happens? The longer it lasts. Thank you. The quicker you can turn the situation around is by focusing on the Lord. He's the author and the finisher. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of this book, but Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What's missing? And in fire. And in fire. Notice in the following scripture that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, but the tongues of fire remain sitting on their heads, as this baptism of fire has been reserved until the end time. Ah. You say, well, I thought I was already in it. It's been reserved until the end time. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Fully come is not in the NIV, but it is in the Amplified. And it is in the King James. The day fully come means that the celebration that the Jews celebrated year after year after year had finally been to its reality. It's a now done deal. It didn't happen until 2,000 years ago. Now this next baptism of fire that God is preparing is actually pulling on each of us. You know, I'm going to talk about my wife right now because for me, when I went up to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, I mean, I think it was my third visit. And I was anointed with oil and the new tongue started with a new language. Actually, all I got was four syllables, so I thought God was kind of cheap. But that's all I got. That's all I got. And I was not happy. I wanted a whole language like my buddy had. Okay? My wife knocked on God's door for 5 solid years. I got my Holy Ghost gift right in the sanctuary of a small church in West... can't even think of the name now. It'll come later. Huh? It's not far from where we live. Just my brain is a blank. My brain is not connected. West Warren. Thank you. I believe it was St. Thomas. There you go. The only one there. That solved the problem. But that's where God did it. Okay? And I drove home with my friend and I got this new wonderful language. Abadae. That's all I could say. Abadae. It was just going out of my mouth. And I'm not happy. Now my wife wants the baptism. Goes for prayer, I can't tell you how many hundreds of times in 5 years. We're down in South Carolina. And I've given up my day to work on the counseling. And so I said to her, we were there for a week. And she said, well, what am I going to do? I said, it's going to be up to you. You've got the whole grounds. You've got the whole place. I just am giving up the day to just obey the Lord, and I'm going to work with the counselors downstairs. So there was a beautiful chapel, and the downstairs area was all where the phones, you know, were all centered for all the different countries and states, and it was a prayer center and a conference center and a counseling center. So I had volunteered for the day, and when I came out at 5 o'clock, because that's what we had determined, 5 o'clock would be the time to go out to have, you know, some lunch or some supper. And believe it or not, my wife is as drunk as anybody could ever make her. I mean, she's got low heels on, and she's walking like this. And she can't walk, literally. And she had a full language right away. All right? So, you know, why does God do this for one and different for another? Because he's got a plan. Look at your neighbor, say, God has a plan. And he will baptize me in the Holy Ghost with fire on the appointed day for me, not necessarily for you. Are you catching on where I'm coming from? See, everybody wants it the same day. It may not happen on the same day for all of us. Okay? How many know there was only 120 at the beginning? But it didn't stop there, did it? It kept on going. And it got bigger. There are several places in the book of Acts where you see the baptism of tongues and the fire coming. The baptism of those that needed to be changed and transformed. I mean, if you want to see an example of the baptism of fire, take a good look at St. Peter. I mean, to me, he is the best example. He is scared out of his wits. He just denies the Lord. He tells them he doesn't know him, yet his dialect gives him away. And he just will not admit that he has ever seen this man or doesn't ever want to be seen with him. And then in the book of Acts, after he gets baptism of fire, he gives a sermon, one sermon, one speech. 3,000 are born again. I mean, talk about guts. He's not afraid of anybody anymore. What happened to him? The baptism of fire, it says the tongues of fire remained on them. Have you seen that yet? Are you preparing? Are you preparing? See, my question is, are you satisfied with the status quo? Do you think you got it all? Well, if you don't think you have it all, how am I going to entice you to look for more? See, that's my job. To really put a hunger in you for this baptism of fire. That's my job. And you know what? I didn't want this job. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was a perfectly happy businessman. I was just totally happy where I was. We finally were getting the mortgage down. We finally were getting the bills paid. We were learning how to listen to God. It was a wonderful season in my life. And then all of a sudden, God says, it's time to sell the business. Yeah, right. And my wife says to me, what are we going to do at 42? Well, guess what? She's got a vision of it now. It's a very different vision than what she expected. But that's okay, too. You know why? Because God has a plan, and we're doing our best to follow it all the way down to the wire until He says, well done. And I'm pressing in to you for God to say it about you. Now we're going to switch gears. I want you to go to Malachi. Book of Malachi. In Malachi chapter 4, I want you to see the day of the Lord. Malachi is kind of a sweet book because actually, believe it or not, it's the last chapter of the Old Testament. Does that give you a clue that maybe it's related to the last chapter of the New Testament? Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. That sound like fire to you? All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. So what does that mean? The troublemakers will be burnt up, and the saints will be used to heal and set free those who are seeking freedom and healing. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. How many of you have ever worked on the farm and let them go in the spring? How many of you have ever seen little animals being freed up after they've been cooped up for 6 months? Yeah, they're literally crazy. I mean, there is no way that you can imagine what they're like. I remember when I was a boy, and my dad worked on a farm, and we owned the farm when I was very small. And whenever you let the animals out for the first time on the warm day there in the spring, I mean, it's not the calves that were the wildest. It was the cows and the other adults. They were just as crazy as bedbugs. I mean, their tails were flopping in every direction, and they were running and jumping, and thank God for the fences, because they would have been jumped right out. Verse 3. Then you will trample down the wicked. It says, who will trample down the wicked? We will. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Who is the author of doing it? He is. Who is he using? Us. Remember the law of my servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It's called the dreadful day of the Lord, and it comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Now, why that? I think it's a picture of the end that is so clear of that baptism and what it will produce. Now, in the book of Acts, there's a gentleman named Ananias, and his wife is Sapphira. And it's not that far into the book of Acts, but it shows that they had made a decision to sell their home. And they also decided together that they were going to withhold some of the money. But they lied to Peter, one after the other. And they were both struck dead. I can tell you this. At the close of 1999, the Holy Spirit showed me a vision. And I gave it out on January 1st when we broke the New Year in at Grace Church of Christ, and I can remember that prophetic word because the vision was so raw. And I remember telling the body of Christ, not that far down the road, when 2000 would break loose. I didn't know which numbers in 2000. But I remember that. And I said, there will be men who will have the authority to expose lies, and the answer to those who lie to the Holy Spirit will be death. You think I want the job? Look at your neighbor. Would you like the job? Question. Do you think Peter wanted the job? Do you think Peter wanted the job? I believe God had him high enough off of his emotions and out of his soul. His flesh was no longer in operation. He was willing to do whatever God asked him to do without reservation. And that had to be the product or the byproduct of the baptism of fire. Because you can see the fruit of that baptism in his speech to his very elders and leaders, publicly making that declaration in front of all those people and getting 3,000 baptized in one day. I mean, come on. You think he was afraid? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Was he accustomed to being obedient in the realm of the Spirit? I would say off and on. How many of you are an off and on person for the Lord? Thank you. See, whenever we're in church and we're under the anointing, it's easy to flow. But when we're back with the natural things and somebody's misbehaving and we get angry, the job goes sour, what happens? Anybody see some flesh rise up? That's what happens. So what am I saying to you tonight? Get hungry. Get hungry. Ask the Lord for His plan to unfold in your life. I don't know if you're going to be apostolic. I don't know that. I don't know if I will. All I know is I want to be obedient to what God has called me to be. At one time, I would have run from it. Now I'm willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever your plan is. With reservation in my head. With reservations in my head. Why? Because that's where the problem lies. Why do you think the tongues of fire came on their heads? Did you ever get a clue of that one? Thank you. Right on. Thank you. And it remained there. Why? Because it takes time to burn this stuff up. Thank you. Somebody got a vision there. Amen? Bow your head. Father, I gave them what you showed me today. And now, Holy Spirit, bring them forth into this wonderful opportunity that you have prepared for them, that they may be in harmony with each other, so that God's plan will unfold for each individual according to God's perfect will, in Jesus' name. And these that are listening on the internet, the same, in Jesus' precious name. Amen? Well, now you've got to share some hugs with each other. That's your commission from the Lord and from me.